Abhinav Davuluri, Morningstar Technology Equity Strategist, alongside Christopher Rowland, Susquehanna International Group Senior Equity Analyst for Semiconductors. Gentlemen, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. Christopher, let me get started with you first. Obviously, the earnings numbers coming in above estimates, but the lingering question remains, can the supply keep up with the demand through the rest of 2022?
Yeah, and AMD has been extremely proactive in both working with and financing a lot of their supply chain partners here. So they are in better shape than many of their counterparts. We do think they are ultimately going to be successful in that quest, but we are seeing some pushback, I would say, in the March quarter here, particularly around PC products. And then their ongoing console relationships as well.
Abhinav, we heard Christopher in his report say things are pretty much perfect there, but I wonder what you see as the biggest downside risk when you think about, number one, the supply chain issue that Brian just highlighted, but also just the competition. I mean, clearly AMD really... hitting on all cylinders in the quarter, but certainly they've gotten, some headwinds here from competition in the space.
Yeah, competitively, it's a pretty interesting picture. I mean, normally it's Intel that's seen as the main competitor. They've obviously had a lot of manufacturing issues, and those are expected to continue, at least for the foreseeable future. But that said, Intel's new CEO, Pat Gelsinger, has a pretty interesting plan put in place, IDM 2.0, to kind of get their internal manufacturing back on track, but also outsourcing some parts to TSMC that obviously makes a lot of parts for AMD. So it could be interesting to see how that battle kind of wages. Both firms have some impressive products in the pipeline coming out later this year that I think will definitely create a pretty intense pricing environment. So that could be some pressure that AMD faces later in this year.
Abhinav, does that pressure threaten the improvement that we've seen in gross margin? Because AMD, this caught my eye, gross margin 50%, that's an increase of more than 5 percentage points year over year. But at the same time, this is coming at a time where across industries, labor costs are going up. So if pricing pressure on the actual top line as well is going to be getting more competitive, might that compress in the quarters to come?
Yeah, I mean, if there was one blemish on AMD's guidance amidst, all the strength and the positivity, it's probably that gross margin outlook, which is a 51% expected for 2022, juxtaposed with, 50% in Q4. So, we were expecting that margin to improve a little bit higher, especially with the mix shifting more to margin accretive data center products. So what that tells us is exactly your point. Maybe they're seeing higher wafer costs from TSMC. Maybe they're going to expect some, increasing pricing headwinds that pressure margins there as well. So, at the same time, management could have just kind of given a more, achievable target to kind of hit that, they might be able to easily surpass in the coming quarters.
Christopher, we're seeing shares of Xilinx again in the session today as well. The timeline here in terms of the acquisition for Xilinx now expected to be completed in March. Now that we've got the Chinese regulators giving that green light, to what extent does that accelerate revenue growth for AMD?
We think it's an excellent acquisition by AMD, particularly because this COVID supply chain kind of nightmare has hit Xilinx particularly hard. We track lead times very closely, and lead times for Xilinx products are in the 70 or 80 week range. They've just ballooned during COVID. And we think AMD, with some of the investments that we just talked about in the supply chain and their supply chain partners, we think that they will be able to get a better handle on these lead times and ultimately ship more product. So we're at this point quite bullish on this passing regulatory muster. We think we could even see this happen in the next few weeks here. AMD said by the end of the quarter would be their expectation. We think it's going to be ultimately highly accretive, highly strategic, just a wonderful acquisition for AMD.
Christopher, I want to ask you about another chips company that has yet to report, Qualcomm. Of course, we're looking forward to their earnings report. You expecting to see something similar from AMD, or you expect maybe some of the anecdotal issues that they've been dealing with to weigh on their numbers as well.
Qualcomm also has a very good supply chain. They've worked extremely hard at it. Qualcomm is a company that is in some ways reinventing itself under new leadership under Cristiano Amon, and they are diversifying away from just mobile products. For example, the Oculus headset, which was a big Christmas and holidays seller, is powered by Qualcomm. They're also moving into auto, RF, all these other areas beyond just mobile. So their prospects, in my opinion, are quite bright. The only drawback for their report tonight is basically that most of their revenue comes from mobile, and areas like China have seen perhaps a little bit weaker than expected sales in terms of handsets on that side. And Qualcomm still is first and foremost a mobile company. But overall, the long-term story, we think, is very, very positive.
And finally, Abhinav, when you look at the chip space broadly, there is an aggressive push from the White House to bring manufacturing back here to the U.S. You mentioned Intel being a big competitor to AMD. They've made some big headlines on the back of factory announcements they plan to open in Arizona as well as Ohio. Long term, which one of these chip makers you think is best positioned given this push to bring things back home?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, most of the companies listed there do not have, kind of the manufacturing facilities. I think all of them are going to benefit to some extent from just the broader demand push, whether that's AI, 5G, cloud computing, you know, all of them have some exposure there. But in terms of just benefiting from semiconductors as a whole, and whether that's domestic manufacturing or not, I mean, I think NVIDIA is pretty clearly the one that has probably the rosiest prospects. And I think the market appreciates that, whether it's its dominance in artificial intelligence or potentially autonomous vehicles or even the metaverse with its kind of omniverse offering. Even if the domestic chip making becomes more significant and gets that government funding, we would expect a company like NVIDIA to basically benefit regardless. And having more options to get your chips made, right now NVIDIA gets most of its chips made at TSMC, some made at Samsung. But if they have Intel kind of entering the fray and having a meaningful competitiveness in the foundry space, that certainly helps fabless companies like an NVIDIA, like a Qualcomm, to kind of have multiple options to get their chips made and help from a pricing standpoint.